Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center. So are you trying out for the new hamburger helper ad with your hand? That's what it reminds me of, like the little hamburger helper mitt.
Dude, it's like, it's actually kind of like really self-conscious for me. Isn't that weird? I don't
Oh
know.
no,
Why.
I feel like a dick.
No, it's like, I've been like wearing like, it's cold here. So I've been like wearing a hoodie, but like just like covering it up too. I don't know why. It's like, it just looks really gross and really swollen. And I think it's just like, ugh, I don't know. So I got stung by a bee on Friday. I was at Cedar Point with my family for Halloween weekends and I was eating lunch. And yeah, it was a wasp, I should say, or a yellow jacket. I don't know the difference, but it definitely wasn't a bumblebee. And it came down and stung my finger. And I'm pretty sure on this podcast, I talked about how I made it to my 30th birthday without getting stung. And here I am a month later and I got stung. So I don't know if I'm pretty allergic. I'm going to go see my doctor. I've been to the ER twice to talk with them about it. I mean, I work there. So,
yeah.
But it's on my ring finger knuckle and I'm swollen all the way up to like my wrist.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Like you showed me like just the difference and I was like, bro.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Like you can't even see like any veins on here.
Dude, it looks painful. Like it legit just looks like.
It's like, honestly. So when I got stung, it hurt. And then it was itchy because that's what happens with bee stings, allegedly. And then like now it's like what you explained is like that water balloon and like stiffness. So like, yeah, it kind of hurts, but it's more so like it feels like it's like bruised in here when I touch it because of how much inflammation and stuff. And then I think about like people walk around with like this much inflammation just in general in their
Like
body.
edema.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm so self-conscious because I see like a lot of edema and I'm like, ew, your legs are gross. Like they're shiny. There's bumps on it. I hate that shit. It grosses me out. It reminds me like I'm working at the hospital. So yeah. And I'm like, people walk around feeling like that all the time. And this is just my hand. It's been going on for 3 days and I'm already ready to like run off a cliff because I'm so like, oh.
You know, they have like obviously diabetic socks to help with circulation. But like back in the early 2000s, there was like the emo kids gloves. You need like little emo kids gloves to just improve like the blood flow.
That's honestly what I need. That's funny. And I wear those socks when I have nursing shift compression stockings.
Yo, no judgment, because like y'all are on your feet and y'all are hauling ass. So like no judgment. Like I was kind of being funny, but also kind of serious because like I know compression can kind of like help
I
with.
remember like 4 years ago at my job, they brought these computers down that were on wheels. They're like, okay, well, now you can bring your computer to all the rooms. Like, you really don't have to sit at all because we used to have computers at the desks. And they're like, nope, time to stand more. I was like, sweet, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it because then I can just scurry away real quick. And I'm like, gotta go. That's literally what I am. I'm like, peace out.
That's wild. That's wild. I feel really bad. I mean, I feel bad because you had like a insect sting. And then I was playing, Eric and I were playing Operation, not like in a kinky way, but like, he was like having problems walking. And so I was like literally like on the floor with him, like with like a flashlight and like tweezers and like my little, like, you know, the needle heads on like glucose pens where it's like you're just like doing the lance. That's the word, the
Yeah.
lance. I was like doing that on his foot because he had like a really bad splinter, but it was like a metal shaving that was like getting like almost infected. And it was like deep in there. So we were like playing Operation on Friday. That was fun. But my weekend, I think, was a lot more positive than yours, unfortunately. My dad came down, so that was really good to see him. Yeah, I hadn't seen him since, well, he took bees out of my wall. So it all comes full circle.
Yeah, come down and work on my house.
That's right.
I think what else? I had a really good leg day on Friday before I got stung. That was good.
It's a positive.
I was looking back. This has been crazy for me in the last 14 days. I've onboarded 7 new people.
Wow.
And I have 3 calls this week. So I am a little overwhelmed. But it's good. It's really good that people want to change for the better. And I'm very grateful to be a part of their journey. I like talked about my journey with Hashimoto's and doctors, and like that just opened the floodgates for a lot of people that see the same problem. And I'm like, God damn. I had a girl, this has been my, she's been my client for a long time. She went and got her IUD pulled out because she's like, I don't know if she read Beyond the Pill or something, but she's like, I just got this bad thing. I've had it in for years. She gets it pulled down. She's talking to her OBG, and I was like, wait, ask them if they can run some labs. The answer, I already knew the answer was going to be no. She's like, yeah, we'll run some labs. Okay. They run a TSH, a CBC, a CMP, and a prolactin. Prolactin's because she's been having nipple discharge for 2 years. Not pregnant, obviously. Unless she's been pregnant for 24 months and hasn't had a baby yet. That'd be a Guinness World Record. But I just couldn't fathom that.
Sucks.
I was like, it's like they dip their foot in the water. Like, we'll do one and we'll do prolactin. I was like, okay.
Only because she had nipple discharge. Like, that's
Right.
the only reason.
But she's also been like, she actually told me that she used to have like extremely painful periods, like horrible abdominal bloating. Like, and you might know this actually, with the elevated like prolactin and stuff, like, is that ever seen with like endometriosis? And like the horrible pain and like the bleeding and the inconsistent periods. I was just like, now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, I wonder.
I can't speak on it for sure,
Yeah,
but
no, we're not doctors. We can't diagnose or anything. I was just curious if you've ever seen a link, because now it's just cool how many links come together. Because I got a new girl this week, Hashimoto's postpartum. Never had an issue with her antibodies. They've always been managed. She's breastfeeding over 2,000, and mine are over 1,000. And I was like, is it because like prolactin and thyroid hormone, there's like an inverse relationship?
There definitely is that correlation there, that relationship for sure.
But it's just like wild to me that I'm like, wow. And she's like, I don't really feel that bad. I was like, I don't either.
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer for you. I'm like, we need more studies. I was like, I need more people. I need someone who's, if any of you guys are out there and you have Hashimoto's and you had a baby and you're not breastfeeding, I need you to get lab work. I'll pay for it for you because I want to know. I seriously
Just
will. I'll pay for your
conducting your
antibody
own
lab work.
study.
Yeah. I'm conducting my own study. So holler at me, slide into my DMs.
That's
I
wild,
need to
dog.
know.
That's
But
wild.
yeah, so that was like a big, huge gate opener. And I think there is a big turning point, I hope, for all you guys out there that listen and have health issues and want to do better, because I think we're all sick of it. We're all sick of feeling like shit.
Yeah, you're sick of being sick and being told that everything is normal and not feeling normal. Yeah.
And then like also sick of like not achieving your goals. Like how many people like want to compete in bodybuilding and they can't lose weight, they don't feel good, they don't have any, good health markers, and it's because of these issues. And that it's just wild to me. It's so wild to me that we're at a point where there's lack of help or lack of knowledge or lack of urgency.
Probably all of it, honestly, because like obviously doctors are more like they know about physiology, but a lot of their education goes into not prevention but treatment. So it's kind of like, what do we do when things already go to shit and you're already feeling like crap? It's like, oh well, it's these medications or whatever, and it's like the lifestyle factors aren't really emphasized, or they're not necessarily like maybe given in the way that they need to be given, especially because like some of our doctors are like unhealthy too. So it's like, imagine like sitting face to face with your doctor who's like morbidly obese and likely is taking like high blood pressure medication or stuff like that, and they're like, oh yeah, what's your diet and your exercise regimen look like, and it's like, bitch, what's yours? Like, so it's just, there's, I mean, that could be a whole freaking topic about how our medical system is just broken and why you likely feel broken because of it.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's definitely one of those like we know what we feel as a person and we're just like not heard. And I think that's the biggest thing. And then us, we lack the education on nutrition, on what moving our body is, because we view it as a fucking chore.
Yeah.
And view it as like, oh, I need to do these things to look weight, to lose weight or look a certain way. It's like, these are just basic health shit that we've never been taught. Like you should move your body, you should stretch, you should drink water because we're 80% water. You know, you should eat whole foods and not eat processed stuff. You should get sleep and manage stress. Those are just like basic shit that, I mean, I didn't even know that before I started bodybuilding. I didn't know that those, I don't like, I just want to call them like daily functions. Like, but they're like seem so monumental for all of us. That's wild. Anyways, anywho, we could have a week-long podcast about that, like just straight fucking however many hours are in a week, 107. I don't know.
Not enough.
Yeah. But we're gonna talk about the Olympia today.
Did you like buy the live stream? Because I did not.
No, I didn't. I
Yeah.
didn't buy that stream. But there are a lot of significant things I want to talk about. Well, we're probably mostly gonna focus on bikini wellness. Is that what we're going for?
Bikini for sure. Yeah, and we can
Okay.
obviously touch on any other division you want, but bikini was like.
I do want, because this applies to us, and it is very impactful, is Samson, who won Mr. Olympia. Amazing. Well deserved. Congrats. Kudos to him. Not that he's ever going to listen to this, but you know, the thing I want to focus on though is who was his coach? Who coached him to the
His
Olympic stage?
wifey. I love that. His wifers.
A female coaching a male, the best male bodybuilder. I mean, it's insane because females commonly get overlooked as coaches, unless it's to coach other females. I think we're finally turning to a point where there are females that are getting, you know, some male clients here and there. And I get it. If you want to stay with the same sex, that's fine. You know, female to female, male to male, there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think there's been a huge stigma about female coaches having the capability, the knowledge, the dedication to coach a male. And I think that that's bullshit. And I also think that Samson winning proves any thought that someone has had against a female coach wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's something where you need to do what's best for you at the end of the day, but hopefully when you are hiring a coach, you are looking at their resume, their credentials, their professionalism, their level of care, and not just like what's in between their legs. Like if that's important to you, then that's your business, I guess. But it's like I work with a male coach, not because of what's between his legs, but because of how he gets results, how he cares for me, how he coaches what I need to coach. I know there's that stigma that girls don't like coaches, female coaches don't like push hard enough, but it's like I don't think that's true. Like in most cases, it's like females can push really, really hard, but it's like maybe it comes across as like, you know, bitchy. And it's like that's not fair either because it's like, why are we bitchy for pushing? But a male coach could push and it's, oh, he's being a good coach. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand like comfortability wise, like talking about certain things like libido and things like that, maybe uncomfortable with, you know, the opposite sex. But when you look at it, it's just like a professional relationship. It's really not any different than going to see a doctor that's a different sex or anything like that. You know, like you have a male coach, I have a male coach. I have no problem saying like, I didn't get my period, or my period's fucking horrible, or I'm having this, and this issues, or even with females who take PEDs, they may have clitoris enlargement. Like that could be like an uncomfortable topic, or even opposite for males, like, you know, like they just aren't getting erections and things like that. And it's like, okay, I could see that being like a little bit of a barrier. But also, too, it's like, I don't think that is like an issue. I think more people were just like, females don't know. And that's the reality of it. But anyways, kudos to him. That's great. That's fantastic. Well deserved. Very happy that his wife got to coach him. I'm sure that just builds on their relationship, which is really cool. Probably really hard. I would probably punch my boyfriend in the face 100 times if I had to coach him. I know you coach Eric, so great. Kudos to you guys too. I would probably lock up everything in our fucking house if I knew, because I would write his fucking plan and be like, you're only eating what's on your plan. I'm locking everything else up. And then he'd probably fire me. So nonetheless, bikini. Before you saw who won, who did you think was gonna win? Did you think it was gonna be Laura Lee?
No, but I also have a bias toward Amy Suzique, because I really like Amy Suzique. I really do.
I didn't think she posed as well.
I did not see her routine. I just was going off of how she looked last year, which obviously like isn't representative, nor does it really matter this year. Because obviously she, placed worse. But I do like Amy's physique. But at the same time, like if her posing wasn't there, which again, I haven't seen her routine, then she got the placing she got. I definitely was surprised by Ashley coming up as high as she was, because like I know she was kind of like, not I don't necessarily know about losing placings, but like she hasn't been in the top like second in a really long time. So that was definitely interesting.
Well, I think obviously it was a really big game changer without Maureen and Jen Dory this year, both of them competing. Jen took the step back on her own recognizance, and then Maureen got injured, I believe. I think she got like ran over at the airport or something. Yeah, and like that like was on the escalator. She released the video. I didn't watch all of it, but she made a statement saying that she was in the airport, and I think somebody bumped into the back of her with like the suitcase. She ended up falling backwards and either hurting like her Achilles or ankle or ham something along those lines. So she ended up pulling out very close, like the week before. Like she just released it not too long ago. So I think obviously that was a huge game changer without having those two top, previous winners on stage this year. I personally have never been a fan of Laura Lee. I think she's always been bottom heavy. I think her glutes have definitely always overpowered her upper, but I will say I think this is the best she's looked in years. Out of like the last 3, 4 years she's been at the Olympia, I think this was probably the most balanced she looked, and obviously she won, so she is bikini standard. I think her posing was good too. She definitely changed, switched it up from what she's always done, which I think was cool to see. She had a little different flair, a little different routine there, hitting different poses in different, in a different pattern, I should say, because she's usually pretty consistent with the way that she flows and stuff. So that was cool to see. That was really, really exciting there. Let's see. Second was
Ashley, I can't ever pronounce her last name.
Colt Walser.
I'm not even gonna try.
Yeah, she's just been top dog for a long time too. I mean, I wonder how long she's been competing. She's won like over 50 pro shows, I think.
Yeah, she's definitely like stacking up those W's at the pro shows.
I mean, she always looks like she's in shape. She doesn't ever isn't ever not lean, to be honest with you. I will say this, my favorite look of the Olympia this year, who I think looked really, really good, was Jazzy. She came fourth, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, she looked really good. Her coach is Cash. Very proud of her. I think, I'm sorry, she was third. She was actually right after Ashley. She took a 2 year off season, and then she came and won, or came in third, I should say. Won her pro show, I think one time qualifier got her in. So yeah, I think she looked really good. I think she was very balanced. Like her physique a couple years ago was just run down, and like I said, she took the time off to actually grow, heal her body. I'm sure maybe there was like, I don't know, some either just extensive fatigue issues or hormonal issues or whatever comes with bodybuilding. And she came back, and now she's great. She looks really, really good. I was really impressed with her.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Cash, like he really has some good bikini athletes. So he's definitely like doing a great job respecting the criteria and like bringing up the standard of caliber of athletes.
Yeah, he's doing like really, really good. With he's had quite a few top people.
Oh yeah. No, I really liked her overall presence. Jazzy was like really good. Like her suit was pretty, like her hair was pretty. I liked her posing. It was much more swan-like, which I feel like that's really dumb to say, but like it was very elegant. You know what I'm saying? Like she took her time. It was really elegant and beautiful. And obviously, if this is like her best now, then I'm excited to see like her continue to move up, because that's like a big accomplishment to get third.
Oh yeah, I mean it's just really, really cool to be probably on the Olympia stage in general,
Absolutely.
but yeah, I like how she looked. I like the dark blue suit on her. I like the natural hair. I think that That her look came together really nice, like you
Yeah.
said.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then wellness, I feel like everyone was like, Fran has this, like Fran's never gonna be dethroned. And like, I have nothing against Fran. I mean, I love and envy all of the wellness girlies. I've always liked Issa's look. Like, I think Issa is just like beautiful from a obviously physique standpoint, from a, you know, face standpoint, with how like she just looks very, very feminine. And I think it's actually really cool that she took the title. I think her posing was really good. Like I was happy that she finally got like her time to shine, because she's always come like super, super close. And obviously she's done well, like, you know, Arnold's and stuff like that. But like for her to actually like take it this year, like that was like really cool for me to see.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy for her as well. It was definitely her time. Definitely. It was kind of actually cool to see too that like wellness, like four out of the top five girls all had red suits. Like it was like a red suit year for them.
Yeah.
It's just like funny for me to like see, like notice little things about that as well. But yeah, it great job for her. I mean, she looked again amazing, which was awesome. And then what's her name? One figure for the millionth time.
Yeah, but was that it? 'Cause I thought I saw something where she was done. Is that
Like
maybe
she retired.
I don't know. I thought I read something where it was like she was like moving on, but maybe that was like I misunderstood the post.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Then I might have.
I don't know. I'll have to look in. I'll get back to you guys on that one because I don't know. But she's won eight consecutive figure Olympias. Titles, which is awesome. So,
Yeah, well, here's her post. It says, eight consecutive figure Olympia titles was just a dream turned into goals, turned into reality. Huge thank you to everyone who has supported me throughout my competitive journey these last decades. 18 years has flown by, and today marks the end of my dynasty. I've done my best to represent this category and our sport to the best of my ability. Now it's time to pass the torch. Can't wait to see who will hold the figure Olympia champion title next. Now time for me to close this chapter, frolic in the streets, and enjoy my 30s with my friends, family, and new opportunities pouring my way.
yeah, sounds like a retirement.
Dang, so her and Chris Bumstead.
I know. That's awesome, though. Like, good for him, too.
Absolutely. I got a little teary-eyed when he was talking about like mental peace and bodybuilding, because that like I'm not trying to like put myself down, but like I'm a nobody amateur. But I understand when he said like mental peace, because a lot of the times like we do lose mental peace over body image, food relationships, how we stack up, like if we have a bad training day, if we have a bad sleep session, if we, you know, are hungry or whatever, like there's a lot of the times that we have this pressure, which, yes, is absolutely a privilege to have to compete in this sport because we love it and we want to bring our best. But sometimes our expectations might not meet our reality and we do lose out on that mental peace. And that when he said that, I was like, you're right. And it's like, I don't think we recognize it until we have lost too much peace and we start spiraling.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I've been there. Both of my relationships during both my preps kind of fell apart. My first one was just bad. Like it was poor management on my fault. I started prep when my ex was overseas deployed, and when he came back, it was weird because I was so 100% dedicated to that. And then my next one, yeah, I just prepped for too long and then I started my own coaching business. So yeah, it was like I was so again just dedicated to bodybuilding and like kind of had the rest of my life fall apart. But I've definitely learned a lot with each one. And now I'm like, oh, for my next one, I won't be doing that. That's what I say. That's the goal. That's the plan. And that's like another thing that I try and focus on in prep too, is like not just like bringing a better physique, a better, personal like level of leanness or whatever it is that they judge you on stage, presence, posing. I try and be better like in my life too. That's like always been like a huge goal of mine too, is like to get better, to be more, present, to manage my time better, to try and be less irritable while I'm prepping. Like those are other goals that I work on too. So like again, that's going to be one of my big ones whenever the time is comes for me next.
Absolutely. Yeah, I one of my questions on Saturday was like, "Are you still planning to compete?" And I was like, "I've been in prep since 2019. It's not the dieting phase of contest prep, but I have been working on building up, yes, my physique, duh, but also like the mental capacity of what it's like to truly be an athlete in this sport, to have better boundaries, to be a good example to my clients and my athletes, but also just again to be a better person." And I fail constantly at trying to be better, right? Like that's the thing is it's always a work in progress. I drop the ball on being a wife. I drop the ball on being a good friend. I sometimes drop the ball on maybe making the best decisions for my clients. But it's about recognizing those shortcomings and failures and working to improve them, right? So even though, yes, whenever I prep, whenever Austin's like, "Hey, it's time," it's going to be one of those things that I want to do just in grace and to not make it this big like hullabaloo. Because at the end of the day, I want it to just be like another day at the office. It's eating still healthy foods, just eating less. It's still moving my body in a way that challenges me just a little bit more. So it's something where it's like, I think we've both grown as athletes where it's like, it's something we want to do to make ourselves proud and we want to do right by the sport and all the people that have like encouraged us and believed in us. And that's why we're not in like a hurry. Like, yes, it is urgent, which is why we work at it daily, but it's not something that like, oh, we want to set ourselves up and not be the best that we can be in that moment in time.
I mean, this ties into like right now, the like you said, like the Olympia. Like we've been, me and you have been working at this goal for like years and years, and now everyone like seeing the Olympia, like there's nothing more motivating than like seeing everybody get on stage and bringing all of that hype and having, you know, what we kind of talked about in our last podcast of like the glitz and the glam and everything being like, you know, sending a message and or the wrong message. And it's like, okay, yeah, bodybuilding is just this, just the Olympia stage, looking sweet, all this hard work. But there's also, you know, the backside of it too. And it's like, okay, after the next couple of weeks when your motivation dies down because there aren't really a lot of shows left in this year. You know, the Olympia is the biggest one of the year. We have one more national show in December, and it's like, okay, after that, shows wrap up until what, end of February, beginning of March is when, you know, the Arnold Amateur is. So it's like, okay, well, you have all of this hype, you have all of this motivation to get after your goals, start your goals, you know, or continue to actually start working hard. But guess what comes around in 4 weeks? Thanksgiving and then Christmas. So motivation dies down. What are you going to do? Where's your discipline? Where are you going to keep working? And I think, you know, it's great to have this hype and great to have this reminder, you know, towards the end of the year, but like things do get a little bit more difficult. And it's like, if you want to continue on with this goal, then you need to remind yourself that yes, there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. And like, how do you respond when you're at a low?
Absolutely. And like, also don't forget Halloween's in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
Yeah.
that.
It, people, we still, well, not you and I don't think anymore, thankfully, but like people still get like super like they forget how to eat. They forget like when these like holidays roll around or these, you know, treats come into play, they like they forget how to eat. They forget that they're in control and it's like a deer in the headlights. And it's like, no, like you've spent however long you've spent like learning how to fuel your body, learning how to train hard, learning how to set boundaries. Like just because like Halloween rolls around, Thanksgiving rolls around, Christmas rolls around, like your environment may change. Family might come into town. Maybe you go see family. Like all the habits that you have worked on building, the mindset you've worked on building, that just can't be thrown by the wayside, right? Like just because you have one new variable doesn't mean that you've like lost everything. And I feel like a lot of people see the holidays and see the challenges and they just throw up their hands and be like, "Oh, I can't handle it." But it's like you have to. It's your responsibility to handle it. Now, obviously, like it depends on where you are at in terms of like, are you a bodybuilder, contest prep, off season, whatever. And obviously, your coach will be giving you like direct feedback on how they think you guys should handle it best. But it's like you can't just lose your shit over a little bit of travel, over a Thanksgiving, like losing your mind over a fucking stuffing, over a holiday ham, like. Laugh at yourself for this because it is silly. Like you're being a silly goose. But then be like, you know what? Like if my coach says I can have an off-plan meal, enjoy it, right? Doesn't mean you make yourself sick. Like don't swing to the opposite end of the pendulum. If you're in contest prep, probably SOL. This is what you signed up for. But it's like you can't just lose your freaking mind when the holidays roll around or when New Year's roll around and you fuck up through the holidays and you're like, oh, I'll get back on track in January because no, you won't. You disrespected yourself and your goals through Thanksgiving, through Christmas. Why is January 1st any different?
And do people not think that like all of the Olympians and high level athletes and just even amateur athletes like us that just like fuck off and then here comes 16 weeks out and we're ready to go? Like, no, like, yes, sure, we just had the Olympia, but like I said, the Arnold comes up in March. Like, when do you think like they start prepping for that? The day after the Olympia, that's when they start fucking prepping, is the day after. Whether it's, reversing out, getting healthy, but they're not just all fucking willy-nilly. They're not all over the fucking place. They're, listening to their coach, and whether that's getting back into the gym or taking a week off and resting and whatever their protocols entail right now. But they're still working. They're still have that discipline. They're not giving up on themselves. They're not being an asshole to themselves. And I think that's part of the other side of it that people don't see is like, oh yeah, like let's get ready to go. Let's get hyped. Let's do this. Oh, I'm all pumped. Like Chris Bumstead looked great on stage. I'm gonna be doing what he does, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, okay, but you're only gonna do that for a week. And he didn't do that for a week. He's done that for 10, 15, 20 plus fucking years, And that's how he got to where he's at because he consistently does it. He consistently shows up. He doesn't fuck off and eat all the stuffing at Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the Saturday after Black Friday and Sunday. He doesn't do it for 4 fucking days. And I mean, even if he did, it probably wouldn't affect him because he has so much fucking muscle mass, but still,
His muscle just crumbled.
literally, yeah, just like burns through it. He like wakes up and is 10 pounds like lighter.
Legit.
Yeah.
Legit. But yeah, it's something where it's like, I don't want to shit on motivation because I think it's great if you have a fire under your ass and that gets you going. Cool. But think of it like a car. If your car doesn't have gas in the tank, you ain't going anywhere. I don't care if it has a baller fucking NOS setup that you spent thousands of dollars on, like pimping out your ride. Like, that's great for you. But guess what? If your fuel tank is on empty, shit's just gonna be in the driveway, right? Like, it's something where you can't miss like the bigger picture and just be relying off motivation. It's like you work all this time with your coach to develop like consistency around your meals, consistency around training, like consistency around your mindset. And hopefully you're also like have the opportunity to work with a therapist on healthier coping mechanisms, boundaries, setting schedules. Learning to say no, learning to say yes, right? It's like that's so important. Like, say you can say no to others and say yes to yourself. That doesn't make you a bad person, right? Like, that's part of boundary setting. It's part of respecting yourself. And it's something where, yes, it takes a while to develop, but like, that's the whole point. That is literally the whole point of like learning to get better and have that self-improvement as a bodybuilder, but also like as a person. Like, no is a complete sentence, and so is yes.
Yeah, I think that's really profound. I'm actually thinking about that, like saying yes, because I think back to how long it took me to hire a coach. And now looking back, I'm like, God, I wish I would have fucking done it the whole 18 months I thought about it beforehand. Like if I could go back and redo one thing in my bodybuilding career, it would have been to hire a coach sooner. And it's because I was too scared to say yes. I watched numerous coaches' pages. I reached out, I filled out an application, and then I backed out, and then I went into a hole. And I was like, why didn't I just say yes? Yes to myself, yes to my goals, yes to believing in me. And it's funny because I almost made an Instagram post about this the other day. I didn't finish typing it out, so maybe it'll come by the time this is released. But I was like, the hardest thing for me wasn't ever like the diet, the cardio, the dedication, like whatever it is. The hardest thing was the believing in myself. And knowing that I could do it and knowing that I could have the follow through, keeping that promise to myself and then getting out of my comfort zone. Because that, I think that's the hardest thing when it comes to like hiring a coach or going after your goals. Because one, change is coming in all
Oh,
aspects.
won't she coming?
Oh, your grandma, she's gonna hunt you down. But I mean, like, yeah, you change your diet, you change your sleep habit, you remove, things that aren't good for you, you adopt things that are good for you. You may have to leave friends, you may have to change your schedule around, you may have to buy new clothes, you may have to, like, everything in your life changes, but that doesn't always mean that change is bad. And I think people kind of correlate those things together. And it's like, well, yeah, we're comfortable because we know the good and the bad of right now. Like, even if something bad happens, like, we know, right? But when you start to change things, if something bad does happen, it's usually something that you haven't experienced before. And I think that's what we feel. But like also too, like, what if something good happens? And I think that's like very hard for people to start or to take that jump. So like you said, like motivation is good, the Olympia is good because it stimulates that motivation and it gets people moving and going and maybe drives them closer to their goal or take that step to maybe hire a coach or actually just go to the gym or actually start drinking more water or whatever it may be or stop drinking so much caffeine because that's what I'm working on. And it's like that's great and that's good, but then it's like you get to that point where that motivation dies out. Discipline needs to take over, but you also have a lot of fear because you fear the unknown or you have imposter syndrome, you don't think you can do it. And like Ash said, like it's a good idea to work with a therapist, to work with a coach, to have a good community support, whether it's friends that are in the bodybuilding community or even just like your husband or boyfriend. Like Ash's husband doesn't compete, my boyfriend doesn't compete, but they're very supportive of our goals. Like perfect example of this. And then I'm going to shut up and let Ash talk because I feel like I just rambled for 5 minutes. But the other day I was like, I don't want to go on a walk. I don't want to get my steps. I don't care. I'm not getting my steps. Fuck it. Fuck it. I'm not going. I don't want to go. Alex picks up our baby, puts him in the stroller, brings me my shoes. He's like, put them on. We're going. We're getting those steps. This is
I love
important to you,
that.
and I know it. And you're going to be mad when it's 9 o'clock at night and you're like forcing yourself to go on that walk in the middle of the fucking dark. And I was like, you're right. So it's like whether you're having that support wherever, it's highly needed.
Absolutely. And I want to go back where you're talking about like being comfortable. And I think a lot of people mistake being comfortable and content for being happy. And they're not the same. They're not the same. You can be perfectly happy while being uncomfortable and being challenged. I watched this reel and I don't know if this has any validity. So someone can fact check me and tell me that I'm full of shit, but I saw it on the internet, so it has to be true. But they were talking about Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday. I might be fucking this up, but
Oh, yeah, I don't know how to say that either, but I know what you're talking
okay,
about.
but but the rabbi was speaking about like a dessert that they share during this holiday, and it's apples and honey. And the reason why they pair these two, oh my God, you're gonna kill me. But the reason why they pair these two is apples are naturally sweet, right? They're a fruit, they have fruit sugar, they're tasty. Honey is also sweet, it's also sugar. But where do they come from? They come from bees. Bees sting. At first, it may seem upon a bee sting that this is painful, that there's no good in this, right? But in the pain, in the sting, what do bees also do? They produce honey. They also pollinate. So that way you have the apple. So at first it may appear painful and useless, but in reality, you actually get a really sweet reward, but you might have to be patient for it. So it's one of those things where you have to take a step back, have some courage, say yes. Like for once in your freaking life, say yes to yourself and make the leap, jump, have courage, and be willing to understand that when you land, you will land on your own 2 feet through your actions, right? But I think a lot of people, and I know I was this way, which is why like I ballooned up to the size that I was, is I was so afraid of saying yes out of fear of just falling on my ass, not realizing that because I was so afraid to jump, I just sat on my ass doing nothing, hoping and praying that something would change. And guess what? Nothing changed. I was content and comfortable. And because of that, I was miserable because I was unhappy with who I was, what I felt like, and what I looked like. And obviously, as physique athletes, yes, we do place a huge emphasis on what we look like. But also, like, once you are done being a competitive bodybuilder, you still need to be happy and proud of who you are. But you build that confidence through repetitive action, through consistency, through acknowledging shortcomings and mistakes and working to improve them. You know, that's why I am reading development books on anxiety. I'm reading developing books on how to be a better leader. When it comes to, multiplying or getting the best out of myself and best out of my athletes, or even in the best out of my friends and being open to new ideas and expanding my mind and having, a less closed mind and more of an open mind. Because guess what? If the door's fucking closed, ain't nothing coming in or out. So it's like being able to be open first starts with courage, and it starts with developing discipline. It's saying yes to yourself and maybe no to others, or maybe not right now. Again, another very powerful like phrase. Not right now. This isn't important to me. Not right now.
Timing is everything.
It
Like,
really is.
honestly, two things I want to say. One, I am not using the B reference. I would like to use a Sour Patch Kid reference. That sounds better
Ooh.
for me right now. First they're sour, then they're sweet. Yeah, I mean that's their slogan, and that's Very similar to a bee, but I'm mad at all the bees right now, even though I know they're good for the environment. And then, yeah, the second thing is timing. Timing is literally everything. Just because it's not like your time doesn't mean it's not ever going to be your time. I just like, I am a big believer, and maybe you aren't, but like, I don't think coincidences happen. I don't believe in it. I think everything happens for a reason. So yeah, see, I know like you're different than me on
No,
that.
I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm like, oh no, I agree. I don't believe in quinky dinks.
I don't either. Like, I
Yeah.
think everything happens for a reason. I mean, I don't, the biggest example I can say is like, I don't believe that I healed my Hashimoto's and then the next day I found out I was pregnant. Those things happen for a reason, because without healing my Hashimoto's, I may not have ever had that opportunity to become a mom. So God, I could like cry talking about that. So it's like, that was a reason. So it's like, yeah, it may not be your time, but like, even if it isn't your time right now, it's because there's a better fucking time. Promise you, promise you, promise you. And don't give up, because that time is coming. I mean, look at, I mean, the Olympia is a perfect example of that. Look at of all the people that come up in second, you know, in wellness, ISA, second, second, second. A lot of shows, people, second, second, third, second, third. Then they finally get their time, and they never once fucking gave up. They keep coming back. They keep showing up day in and day out. They train harder because of it. They become a better person because of it. And it just goes to show that like, their time is coming, and it's exactly when it's supposed to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely don't believe in coincidence. I think I do believe that everything happens for a reason. And I think that things will happen when you take action. And just because you're saying yes doesn't mean that you're going to get it right away. Like, these things like take time, they take patience. They take you consistently sticking with it. Because what if Issa got second and she was like, "Fuck bodybuilding. I'm never doing this again." Dude, she never would have won the Olympia. She never would have been the new wellness standard. Like, that's crazy. Like, what if Chris Bumstead, like 10 years ago, was like, "No, I'm just going to stick with powerlifting. I'm never going to do this bodybuilding thing." He never would have set the standard for classic physique. Sid Gillian, what if she was like, this maybe is not the best thing, but what if she's like, "You know what? I fucking love Survivor, the TV show. I want to be the next Survivor host." We never would have had the figure, like, criteria set for 8 consecutive wins. Like, that's freaking amazing. But they all started somewhere new. It was all new and scary, but they had the courage to say yes, and they jumped and they ran with it. Doesn't mean they didn't struggle. Doesn't mean they didn't have hard times. In fact, they probably had the hardest times out of anyone that you could imagine, due to the immense amount of pressure of not only doing the fucking bodybuilding thing, but being in the bodybuilding spotlight. Like, talk about another level of pressure, another level of, you won once, but you're gonna win it again, win it again. Like, that's a lot of fucking pressure. So for them to stick with it and to also be like a good sport about it too, and like just like make themselves proud, but also have, enough humility to like receive criticism and make other people proud too. Like, that just is like so powerful. It really is. And I'm trying not to be emotional about it, but like, it is something where it's like, damn, these are some good folks. And like, whoever takes their place, like, I hope to God they're also good people, because like, good people have built up bodybuilding too.
Yeah, no, honestly, hit the nail on the head. That's what I want to say with that. And like, yeah, I feel like, I mean, you know, and I know, because we've made it to the other side, you know, like where the grass is greener. I mean, we still have another side to get to where the grass is even greener. But I think, you know, like you said, like, you know, they don't give up and they keep going, and there's even more pressure and all this stuff. And because they are like top level, but it's like, you are walking in the dark and you don't know when the light is coming on, and you don't know what it is going to show when the light turns on. And it's like, ah, but like, we know, we can tell you we know, but like, you have to experience it on your own. And then once you get to the other side where the grass is greener, where the light is on and it is unicorns and rainbows and butterflies, you keep going because you want more rainbows, you want more butterflies. And then you're looking back and yelling, "Hey, everyone, come follow me. Trust me. I know it's dark and scary, but like, let's get here. Let's go." And I think that's like one of the biggest reasons why Ash and I both have become coaches, is because like, we know it gets better. We
Oh,
know
yeah.
how to shitty it is. We know how hard it is to go through that journey. We know how easy it is to just turn around and go back to old habits. I mean, I've done it. There's a time in my life where I was sober for a year and then I went back to, being an alcoholic and drank for every single day for 5 months. And I was like, oh my God, this is bad. So yeah, we are going to fall on our ass. But I knew in that time when I resorted back to old habits, I was like, I've already touched the greener grass. I need to get back there because I know. But getting to there the first time was fucking scary and it was fucking hard.
Yeah.
So, and that's why Ash and I can sit here and say, we know what it's like. We know it gets better. Let us help you because this feeling that we wake up and feel every day, sure, we still have our own struggles, but like, goddamn, this feels good. Like, I love my fucking life right now. Like, I don't know, a couple podcasts ago, you were just like, what are you grateful for? I'm like, just my life. It's
Yeah.
great. Like, I don't have any complaints. I mean, I got stung by a bee and I'm sitting here and I'm still fucking happy. Like, yeah, that sucked. And it's like a fucking inconvenience, but like, I still feel great for the most part. Like, I still have everything I need. Like, I'm well supported. I'm well loved. I'm happy. I'm healthy. Like, fuck, man. Like, because it took me going through that darkness, all that fear to get here. So now, when something does knock me down, it ain't nothing but a thing.
Yeah, everything that you're going through, both positive or negative, is temporary. And that's why it's important to have action to follow through to make it as positive as you possibly can, right? Because even if like your life is just very difficult and very challenging, if you're able to find the smallest of gratitude, the smallest of positivity, and you emphasize that, you emphasize your blessings, not your problems, dude, you like no one can stop you. The only one that can stop you is you. Which kind of like ties into the whole thing of like motivation versus discipline. The only one stopping you is you. You can, have all these people that want what is best for you, to encourage you, to love on you, to support you, but they can't want it more than you, right? They can't, because they can't pick up your legs and make you go to the gym. They can't pick up your legs and make you meal prep. They can't, make you prioritize your schedule so you can prioritize yourself. Like that's only on you. So if you want better for yourself, do better for yourself. Say yes.
Say yes.
To the dress.
Yeah. Yeah. Say yes to the fucking health. That's what I have to say.
Oh my God, right? Cool. Well, let's do one more. What are you grateful for?
Ooh, what am I grateful for? Let's see. Today, honestly, I'm grateful that I am in a pretty decent spot with my health to get stung by a bee and not feel like absolute fucking garbage. Like, I honestly thought, like, I think back to like when my Hashimoto's was bad, and I feel like if it wasn't managed, it'd be like a whole systemic thing for me. I guarantee you. Like, I feel like my stress would be really high, which would elevate my glucose, which then I'd feel like shit. I'd be real lethargic. So, the fact that I got stung by a bee, and I'm pretty sure I'm having like a moderate reaction to it, and I'm okay. Like, I feel fine. My blood glucose is okay. I'm moving. I'm sleeping well. So I'm very grateful that my health is in a good spot for little disruptions like this to happen and not become completely derailed. What about you?
I have a lot, so if you don't mind settling in, I would like to go through my gratitudes. So one, I'm grateful for you and our friendship because
Yeah.
it means a lot to me, and I'm glad that you were in my life. I am thankful for the fact that I am slowing down and it's helping me get ahead.
Oh
And
yeah.
let me give some examples because you'll do snaps and claps. My phone is almost on a permanent, I always say DNR. It's not dead. My phone's on a do not disturb practically all the time. So therefore I'm not like constantly on my phone to check notifications. I am eating meals at my dining room table instead of my office.
Oh, you see in your office. I was like, where were you eating? Yeah, no, I never eat in my office. Good for you.
Wherever, right?
Yeah.
Like I could be on the couch watching TV, office,
Oh
whatever.
no.
I know.
I don't eat in my living room. No.
I know. It was bad. It was bad because it was like, oh, TV, distraction, right? I eat even if it's by myself at the kitchen table, no phones, no screens, nothing. I am reading a little bit more. I was on the reading train and then I was like addicted going back to my phone for dopamine hits, stimulation, just completely ruined my anxiety. And I was like, you gotta stop this bullshit. Because again, it was just me doing it, right? It was out of habit, out of comfort. And I was like, you need to be challenged and you need to slow down. So I'm eating meals at the kitchen table. Eric and I have meals, try to do it twice a day if our schedules line up, lunch and dinner. We go on walks at least once, maybe twice a day together, no phones. We're praying at meal times, which is good for us together. We are also playing. So we are playing cards. We're going to learn how to play cribbage tonight, which I have no idea what that is. Do you have a
I'm gonna,
question?
no, I'm gonna send you a game. It's like tiles. It's called Rummy Cube. Do you have that?
It's like tiles like Mahjong or something else.
No, it's a really fun game.
I'm down. I'm
Yeah, text
open-minded.
me. I'm gonna get it off Amazon for you because Alex and I play probably 2 to 3 times, and it's fun because it's kind of like, you have to think because you have to put like numbers in like order or like kind of like by certain colors and things like that, and then you can like move the tiles around so you can like win and get rid of all your tiles. Yeah, we'll talk about it more, but
Yeah, please.
yeah, that's fucking hilarious that you guys have been like playing games and are not playing this one. But go on. What else are you grateful for? Because play is awesome.
Yeah, so we're playing together. Let's see, what other things have we done? Like, again, I'm taking more time just to read. Like, I don't want to say I'm doing like the 75 hard like challenge thing, but I try to read at least 10 pages a day. Because like that's doable, right? 10 pages is very doable, but you have to make the time and you have to make the intention. So yeah, just it's things like that where it's like you're just being more present because we constantly are bombarded with notifications or we're feeling like we're quote unquote missing out on Instagram. And that is like the biggest lie that we have bought into as consumerism, where it's like you're not missing out on Instagram. You're missing out in your real life. And it's not even just Instagram, it's also like Facebook, TikTok, fucking YouTube, right? It's like you are watching other people live their life and you're forgetting to live your own. And like when that phrase popped into my head, I was like mortified and also like freaked out a little bit. 'Cause like I'm kind of weird with death. It's like death scares me, which I know duh, but like death really gets to me, like really freaks me out. So like the idea that I am like losing my life because I want to distract myself from my life, from my thoughts, I'm like, dude, not cool. Like embrace this. And then because I'm working with a therapist, she sent me guided meditations, and that shit is hard. It is hard for me to lie down for just 20 freaking minutes and listen to her tell me to listen to her and breathe, right? It's like my brain does not shut up. And I think that I'm failing every time I try it, but I know I'm not. I know it's normal to have thoughts. You can't just like not think, at least to my knowledge, right? But like the point isn't to just think about nothing. It's to give yourself 20 minutes of peace. And I was like, oh, so that, although it's a work in progress and I'm not seeing like anything life changing, I just need more time. And the fact that I'm willing to at least like 20 minutes of eyes closed, just breathing and not like hyperventilating is like, oh, that's important. That's powerful.
Somatic therapy is really good too. If you haven't gotten into that, it's like kind of like stretching and breathing, and it's related to traumas with like different parts of your body. Like there's like certain ones
Ooh.
that are like talk about like jaw and like jaw stretches and like breathing through that. Yeah, it's really good. You can look it up on YouTube, and your therapist actually might know some things about it too. So that might be a good one as well, because it's also too kind of like focusing on your body and how it feels and moving that energy and slowing down and having that peace, but also removing that trauma energy that's like stuck in your body. It's cool. It's
And
cool.
then last thing I'm thankful for dry needling and acupuncture. Because
Oh,
both
yeah.
like good for yes, bodybuilding, but acupuncture especially. And just like being able to again like lie down still with freaking needles in your body and like not react. Just like be at peace, knowing that like this is actually beneficial.
Common denominator at peace.
Peace, courage.
Yep.
Yes.
Love
Cool.
it. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, I think that's it. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us and loving us as always. If you guys have any questions on today's topic or even have like topic requests, like feel free to DM Ash or I. But it was good seeing you, and I love your beanie, and I hope your hand gets better.
Thank you. I know it's good seeing you. And thank you guys for listening, and thank you for sharing all your gratitudes. I love that.
Yeah, we'll do that more often. All right,
Yep.
peace.
Adios.